If you had to complete the following sentence, what would you answer? The world is like. What do you compare the world to and life to? How do you see the world? I remember someone once told me, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Paul said something similar. To those who are pure, all things are pure. We see as we are. And it's good to get in touch with the comparisons you live with, the metaphors, the symbols, the ideas, because Jesus invites us to think about the comparisons we live with and make, and to think about them again. Jesus comes again and again with the message, repent. Repent. Repentance and repenting means changing your thoughts. You review your plans of living. Just return to how you think about things. And God says, I invite you to think differently about it. Repent. And he helps us with this by giving us new comparisons, new images of God's world. God's world is like something else. His parables are meant to debunk our normal ways of thinking about things and how they work, and to help us see and hear with different eyes. And to understand his comparisons, his parables, we must be committed to converting our current ways of thinking. And in today's passage, Jesus invites us to think of God's kingdom and the word of his kingdom as a sower who sows seed to grow. God's kingdom and the word of his kingdom is like a sower. And we're going to read this passage together. You're so welcome to follow with me as it comes up on the screen. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good ground, good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And then Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. In this parable, this comparison of God's word, his kingdom, to a sower and seed, there are three invitations that come to us. Maybe we can spend time with each. This parable is so rich with imagery. And the first is, know the sower. Jesus compares God to a sower. He says, God is like a sower. His word is the seed. And this sower casts his seed everywhere so that it may grow and establish the kingdom of God. But what is interesting here, what is interesting about the sower is that he doesn't sow like a calculating farmer would. In the context of farming, the sower in the story is wasting seed, because who will waste seed on land that can never produce a harvest? But it doesn't seem as if God asks such a question or thinks about it this way. He simply continues to scatter his seed everywhere generously without calculating whether it is a good investment in terms of return or not. And it seems that God has an infinite number of seeds to scatter, almost wastefully, everywhere. That's who God is. That's who the sower is. Now, in this encounter, just before Jesus tells this parable, we read that an enormous crowd follows Jesus as he's teaching. And the crowd was starting to get so great that Jesus actually had to get into a fishing boat and use the lake as his speaking platform so that he could address everyone gathered on the shore. And I wonder what went through his mind when he saw all these people. People that come from different backgrounds, who have different stories, different needs, desires. If he was a leader in this world, in the kingdom of this world, he could have easily used this opportunity to manipulate this crowd, to turn towards him and do something, be a revolution. He could have easily turned the crowd into a revolutionary army and manipulated them for any number of purposes, but he doesn't, because he lives in God's kingdom. And instead of using the means of power of our world to influence these people, he simply invites them to change their hearts. And he includes anyone and everyone to share the seed with, to share the good news with. And as the sower makes no distinction of the ground on which he sows, so Jesus himself makes no distinction between the rich, poor, wise, unwise, lazy, diligent, brave, or cowardly standing in front of him. No, he goes to all. He spreads the word of God's kingdom far and wide. The sower doesn't care where the seed lands, because every inch of soil is an opportunity for the growth of God's kingdom. And the sower invites us to reflect on our ideas and our comparisons and our understandings that God's kingdom, his love and his word is only limited to just the good and the worthy. No, it is for everyone. We serve a prodigal God. We serve a God who freely gives to anyone and everyone. Now the second image is that of the seed, and the invitation is to receive the seed that is being sown. The seed that is sown is God's word. He shares his word. That's how he makes things happen. When we look through scripture, through his word, things happen. That's how creation and everything came into being, through his word. His word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is full of vitality and energy. It's filled with life. God does what he does. He shares the kingdom through his word, and we are invited to receive it. So how? How do I receive it? Well, first of all, hear the word. Hear the word. Hear what he is sowing into your life. He's speaking to you, and his word, the seeds, come to you in many ways. They are sown in you in many ways, through scripture, through sermons, through nature, through people, relationships, spiritual conversations. It's happening now while we're here together. Do you hear him talking to you, sowing his seed? Or are you so absorbed in your own world that you forget what you hear? Jesus, when laying out this parable, says this is like the devil, the evil one, who makes us forget what we've heard. He comes like the birds that pick up the seeds on the footpath and eat them. He picks up the words out of our minds. Or are you someone who was excited for a while about what you heard, but then you forgot when you had to start making sacrifices and your faith started costing you something? Jesus says this is like the seed that falls into the rocks. When things start to get difficult, when I start to doubt God, I'm suddenly no longer so excited and convinced of everything I've heard. Or are you someone who eagerly accepts the message, but the demands of your profession, your life, everything that keeps you busy, makes you forget? Jesus says this is like the seed that falls in thorns. Our rush for money, status, people become more important than my faith, and I no longer have time or energy left to work for God or to receive the word. Do you relate with any of these? In different seasons of our life, this can happen to us. But do you hear the word coming to you? Because when you've heard the word, the second invitation is to accept the word. And this is the difficult difficult invitation, let me tell you, because what I hear is sometimes different from what I think and feel. What I find in God's word is often contradictory to how I think things will work in this life. It doesn't align with the ways of this world. His word contradicts the words of our world. I hear forgive, don't be bitter. I hear love, don't retaliate. I hear give up your life, then you will receive your true life. It might be completely different to your will and your ways and how you've thought things work in this life, but we need to accept. We need to accept this word. And then, when we've accepted, we can receive the word. James says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Our salvation is connected to us receiving the word of God that he's planting in our hearts. Jesus says when the seed falls on good soil, that is when someone who has heard the message of God has accepted it and has been deeply affected by it. And so they receive it. They start to live with surrender to that word. In everything they do or say, their life bubbles with the Lord. There's no stopping it. He or she works that seed of the kingdom into their life. And that's the third invitation from Jesus' parable. When we look at the good soil, we see that the seed needs to be worked into that soil. Work the seed, the word you've received, into your life. Now, our world and our comparisons of how things work are often mechanical. I think there are other ways, better ways than the word, that will help me. There are other things that are better and more powerful to change the ground of my heart. But here's the thing, this manner only changes the soil on the surface. Think about a self-help book. I can tick off every single step. For a few weeks, things can change. But if transformation doesn't happen deep within, everything is going to be the same in the next few months. It's like tilling the soil with a pick or a spade. You're only breaking the top of the soil. You're not transforming the soil, but the seed, on the other hand, changes the soil in another way. It comes from within. The seed has the power to slowly, from within, transform the soil in a very organic way. The seed changes the nutrients, the minerals, the energy of the soil, and rechannels it into a life-giving process. That's the power of God's word in your life. You can think this is nothing. It's just a mustard seed. But if it starts to germinate and grow and take up space in your life, it can grow so much that there's no room for anything else because it gets so big. That's the power of the working word in your life. At Origins, our retreat center, there's a wild fig tree in the forest, the small forest. And when you look and you look again, you see that this tree has grown through rocks. How on earth the seed got there, I don't know. But you would think, how could a tree this big, it's majestic, grow in these rocks? The seed transformed the soil. The rocks could not contain the life of this tree. What a beautiful image of what happens when we work the words into our life. Jesus says in Luke 6, work these words into your life. In what ways do you work the word in your life? Scripture gives us so many ways. Scripture says, start talking to other people about it. Speak among yourselves with psalms. Colossians 3:15, let the word dwell in you richly. Abide in my word, says Jesus. This means I think about the word that I've received. I meditate on it. I talk about it. And that's how it begins to remain in me, begins to live in me, and has an effect on my life. It changes us. Now, parents know, when you've got a child's will, but not their heart, then they only do what you say to the letter. They just do what you say, but with an attitude. It's horrible. But when you win their heart, everything changes. That's the same with scripture. When we just take it in to know about it and memorize it and forget about it later, nothing happens. But when it wins our heart, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That's what happens when that word starts working in your heart. Everything changes. I start doing things because what I've heard, and it starts growing in me. It takes root in me, and the word becomes flesh. I become a father or a husband who doesn't just go to work every day out of routine. No. I become a husband and father who consciously renews my commitment to my family and the common good every day. I live with purpose. I become a responsible citizen who doesn't just speak doom and gloom about a country, but who votes with faith and hope and takes hands where I can to renew my commitment to God's kingdom. Because you know, the word says that one day, God's kingdom will reign completely in this world. We can start tasting and experiencing and living it right now. I become a believer who not only forgives because I have to, but because I commit myself to the freedom that comes when I do what the word says and start living in his kingdom. Now, some of us, we feel unhappy because we forget that we are the soil and he is the sower. I know I have thorns in my life, and it's true, you have rocks and thorns in your soil. And you and I, we can say, I just don't know what to do with them. They're there. I realize they're there. Here's the thing. The soil's job is not to get rocks out. The soil's job is not to pull out the thorns. That is the sower's job. It is your work to receive the word, to hear the word, to live with the word. You and I can go to the sower and say, Lord, I have thorns in my life. Please take them out. I have rocks in my heart. Please pull them out. I will go back to the word. I will hear it. I will continue to listen to it, reflect on it. I will consider the implications of it, and I will obey it. I will give myself to it so that I can see the power of your kingdom come into my life, grow in my life. But you must please, Lord, please pull the thorns and the rocks out of my heart. What is he going to say? Well, he's going to say, of course, I've been waiting for you. I took your thorns in my forehead. I took your rocks. I was buried under one. I took it, and that is what I'm here for. Allow me to be the sower of your life. You and I cannot create the fertile heart. Only God can. And the good news, the gospel, is that God cannot only give you the good heart, but will give it to you. He is the sower who creates the soil and sows the seed. We are the ground that receives, accepts, and works his word into our life. Hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the ways that you come to our life, for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We long to follow you and to know your word. Will you come? Will you come and transform the soil of our heart so that we can work the word, the seed, the kingdom into our lives? We long for your kingdom to come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining us again today. If you'd like someone to pray with you, please reach out. We have a team waiting to pray and minister to you. And if you need any more information about opportunities within this community to hear the word, work the word into your life, please contact us at info@mosaic.com. Receive the grace of God. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of his Holy Spirit remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.